But the Lord very clearly said no. So he told me to give what I'm bringing today. So it's fresh, it's hot off the press, and it's called Wrapped Up in Him. Now, thankfully, I have absolutely no idea where any of you are on your journey with the Lord, or indeed if you're journeying with Him. Some of you may have started on your journey with Him long, long time ago. Some may be further along. Some might be learning something new about the Lord and loving every moment. But others of you may feel somewhat fed up, cheesed off, disappointed, disillusioned, and you may just feel like the dying embers of your faith need reigniting. So you may be striding out, ambling along, or you just may feel stuck. So therefore, what I'm going to share will be more meaningful to some of you, and at the same time will speak to other people in different ways. So in a sense, what I'm doing is I'm throwing out gems for each one of you, gems of truth for you to take a hold of, think about and consider. So wrapped up in Him, wrapped up in Jesus. So often we can sing songs, choruses and hymns and not think about the words that we're singing, not actually appropriate them and take a hold of them and think about the actual truth of the words and how they apply to our ordinary everyday lives. We've just sung Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Whispers of Love, Perfect Submission, all is at rest. I, in my Saviour, am happy and blessed, filled with His goodness and lost in His love. Jesus is mine. I, in my Saviour, am happy and blessed. Two questions, well, three or four actually. Is Jesus yours? Are you His? In Him, are you happy and blessed? Are you completely convinced of His love for you? If we've said yes to Jesus, if we've asked Him into our life, if we've asked forgiveness for all our sin, our wrongdoings, if we've repented, which means we've turned round from our way of doing things to His way of doing things, if we're following Jesus, however we describe what being a Christian is, then yes, we can say Jesus is ours. But do we know Him? Do we know that He knows us? Where is He? Is He out there? Is He in here? How do we live our lives? Do we live our lives thinking He's just out there somewhere? Or do we live our lives knowing that He really is in here? We might understand that He's our Saviour, but do we know Him as our friend? We sung the old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Can we find a friend so faithful? No, we can't. There is absolutely no friend that can possibly ever be as faithful as what Jesus is. Now, people say to me, I know a lot of people, I don't know, probably do, but they're not all my friends. I have some friends, yeah. I have the one who rang me up on my birthday. I'm still getting over that. I haven't seen her or spoken to her for 50 years. Yeah, I have friends. But We'd probably all describe what being a friend means to us in a little bit of a different way. For me, a friend is someone who you enjoy being with, someone whose name you remember, Alison. Because I saw Alison and was full of love for her and thought she was called Sally. We'd all describe a friend a little bit differently. For me, a friend is someone who you enjoy being with and want to spend time with, someone who you know well, someone who knows about what's going on in your life and cares, someone who knows your likes and your dislikes, and someone who understands you. The other week, or probably a couple of months ago now, we had a new lady come to our church, and my husband John and I have met up with her and her husband, and we've been out for a walk with them, we've had a coffee with them, and we've got to know them, and we've got to know them by spending time with them, asking questions, answering questions, and just generally sharing together. And that's just what Jesus wants for us and him. In fact, he wants more than that. He wants more than friendship. He wants a really close connection with us, an intimacy. Why? Because he loves us. He thinks that we're wonderful. When he died on the cross, he bought us back. Because he loves us perfectly. He loves us purely. He loves us completely, he loves us fully, and he loves us unconditionally. And I'm going to repeat that. When he died on the cross, he bought us back. Because he loves us perfectly, he loves us purely, completely, fully, wholly, and unconditionally. Unconditionally, no strings attached. He paid the price for each one of us to live in union with him. He wants to be our number one. So very easily, we can put other people before him. We can put other things before him, whatever that looks like, our job, our home, our hobby, food, relationships, exercise. And none of these are bad things. In fact, they're all necessary in our lives. But we need to put Jesus first. We need to put him as number one. And when we prioritize him in our lives, then everything else just falls into place. And we get blessed, so blessed. We're changed. We know his peace and joy, despite what's going on around us in this world. In fact, the wisest, most powerful thing we can do is to prioritize a heart-to-heart connection with the Lord. This is when breakthrough happens in our lives, situations and circumstances. And one of the many names of God is Baal-perazim, God of the breakthrough. And he is the God who very easily makes a way where in the natural there's no way. He's the God who can turn situations right round. Psalm 37:4 in the NIV says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." And delight means to take great pleasure in, to glory in, to adore, to be captivated by, to be elated by. He longs for us to abide in him and with him. Abide is an old-fashioned word. We don't use it. It's in the old hymn, isn't it? Abide with me. It means to live and to stay. And that's what he wants. It's tuning in to the Lord, surrendering and submitting our will to him. It's letting go and letting God. In Blessed Assurance, two of the words are perfect submission. And that's what Jesus did when he hung on the cross. he perfectly submitted to his Father. And now he longs for our perfect submission to him. And three of my favourite scriptures here. Acts 17:28. Again, this is from the New International Version. In him, we live, we move, and we have our being. In him. Colossians 3:3 from the NIV. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And Galatians 2:20, we have been crucified with Christ. Our old nature has been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer we who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. You know, I think that being a Christian is not about being religious. People over the years have said to me, "You're religious, aren't you, Anne?" And I said, "No." Because to me, religion is about rules and regulations. And I see it, being a Christian is about relationship. It's about being in a relationship with the one who loves us most and knows us the best. I repeat that. It's about being in a relationship with the one who loves us most and knows us the best. And delighting in the Lord, spending time with him and abiding in him, connecting with him, speaks about relationship. Psalm 27:8, firstly from the Amplified. You have said, "Seek my face." That's us seeking his face. "Seek my face, inquire for and require my presence as your vital need." And my heart says to you, "Your presence, Lord, will I seek, inquire of as a necessity and on the authority of your word." And in the Passion Translation of the Bible, Psalm 27:8 says, "My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.'" Because James 4:8 tells us that when we draw near to God, he draws near to us. And again, in the hymn, Blessed Assurance, we sing about whispers of love. He longs for us to spend that quality time with him so that we can recognize his whispers of love and actually hear his heartbeat. John 10 says, "My sheep hear, know, and recognize my voice." We're his sheep. In his presence, he gives us wisdom. He gives us lots of things. He gives us everything, but he gives us wisdom. He gives us his direction. So what is quality time? What does it look like? Firstly, it's finding time to be alone with God. Just us and him. No distractions. No mobile phones. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, this is going to be different for all of us because we've all got different personalities, we've all got different lifestyles, and we're all in different seasons of life. For instance, we've got 5 children. But obviously, life is very different for me now than it was many years ago when they were all much younger, when we had a 16-year-old and 4 children under 7. Now, some of you are going to be sitting there thinking, oh, that's a big age gap. And there is a story to it. There's a story of brokenness, tremendous brokenness. But actually, in that, there's a story of God's powerful redemption, which, I've not time to go into now. But yeah, so we had a 16-year-old and four under seven. So life was very different for me then, now in spending quality time with the Lord, than what it is now that there's just that the, we're Darby and Joan at home on our own with the cat, aren't we, John? So for me, I'm an early bird, and I absolutely love first thing in the morning, just being with the Lord, thanking him, praying, listening to him, being expectant, reading the Word and my other various devotional books, and writing down what the Lord said to me, shown me, highlighted to me in my journal. And then the day is before me, and I just give it all to him, everything that I'm going to be doing that day and the people that I'm going to be meeting. And actually also, it's about connecting with him during the day. And it's just like seconds of connection where we might think, oh, Lord, help. Or, oh, thank you for that, Lord. Or, Lord, what do I do here? It's asking for his wisdom. It's thanking him. It's just acknowledge him being with us all the time. Now, as I said, I am an early bird. I've always been an early bird. You might not be, but you could be. If you wanted to, you could be. Or perhaps there's another time during the day or evening that fits you better to spend that quality time with him. Again, we're all different, but it's about prioritising Jesus and then experiencing his power and his change, the changes that he'll make in our lives. But you know, it's not about striving. It's not necessarily about trying to please him and earn a merit mark. It's just so not. All the time, in everything we do, it's about submitting to him. It's about letting go. It's about yielding and allowing him to work in us and through us. And we can start with just 5 or 10 minutes, and then our hunger and our thirst and our desire for spending quality time with him just grows. You see, we can enjoy and know our connection and communion with Jesus in a greater or lesser degree. It's actually our own choice. It's up to us. It's an act of the will. Depends on our desire, our passion, and our hunger for more of God and his presence in our lives. Sometimes we just need to put down our resistance, our pride, our stubbornness, and perhaps our fear. And also, guilt and shame can potentially stand in the way of our wanting a close relationship with him. Because guilt and shame can make us feel unworthy, not good enough, and like we don't and will never measure up. But the good news is, the truth is, that Jesus took our guilt and he took our shame on the cross. He paid the price for it. It's dealt with. It's finished. So that when we come before the Lord and we confess what needs to be confessed, we repent of it, we can be then absolutely free and released to live the best life that God's got for us. And just a reminder here, you know, God does not measure sin. Telling lies and gossiping is as sinful as adultery or murder. God does not measure sin. He is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. And is a God who powerfully redeems any situation. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, oh, I don't know, all this sounds too much. then ask the Lord to give you that desire to have a deeper, more meaningful, close relationship with him. And he will. He most certainly will. Because this is the place where the Lord's life-altering power surges into our souls. Our souls are our minds, our wills, and our emotions. Psalm 23 says, he restores my soul. Our souls are our minds, our will, and our emotions. Being with the Lord affects every single area of our lives. When we spend time in that secret place of his presence, listening, worshipping, thanking him, reading the word and focusing our attention on him, we are changed. We are so changed. Think of Mary in Luke 7:36 when she broke the alabaster box of expensive perfume over Jesus' feet. She chose to ignore all other voices around her that would prevent her from doing this because she wanted to make more of Jesus. She wanted to spend time with him. She wanted to give. And in the giving of ourselves to him, he just pours back into us everything we need and more. Actually, a scripture that's just come to mind, I think it's in James, it says, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Because he sees, knows, and understands us. He sees, one of his names is El Roy, the God who sees. He sees us, knows us, understands us, inside out and back to front. He loves us perfectly, purely, wholly, completely, fully, and unconditionally, all the time. And he's promised never ever to leave us, forsake us, or abandon us. So we've heard the scriptures that tell us we live in him and he lives in us. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And in him we live and move and have our very existence. We're wrapped up in him. I can remember quite a number of years ago, probably 4 years ago now, and I was just spending time with the Lord and there was stuff going on. And I said to him, I'm leaning on you, Lord, here. I'm leaning on you. And he said to me, I want you to do more than that. I want you to lean into me. And he gave me a picture of this massive, radiant, white, light substance, which had a soft marshmallow-like feel. And that was his presence. It was so very obviously his presence. And this is for all of us. This is not just for me, which is why I'm sharing it. And I just leaned back very gently into it. And the substance came right round and just enveloped me. And it was a beautiful picture and I've never forgotten it. And every now and again, I remember to do that, to not just lean on him, but actually lean into his presence. And that's where our lives are hidden with Christ in God. It's in him we live and move and have our being. He longs for us to remember and live our lives like we are wrapped up in him, cocooned in his presence, his love, his peace, his grace, his mercy, and so much more. So, to end with, the last line of blessed assurance, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Amen.